everybody. Welcome again to Trivial Warfare. I'm here with my friend Chris. Hello, Chris.
Jonathan, how you doing today, sir?
Hey, I'm doing all right.
Outstanding.
Are you ready to fight?
I'm ready to get some trivia on, that's for sure.
Yeah, not physically. I'm a little lazy.
I'm a little worried to fight you, actually. I think that would be a really bad massacre of you just kicking me in the balls and me just going...
Is that how I fight?
Well, I don't know. I've never fought you before, but, I mean, that's usually where guys aim right off the bat. Go for the Royal Rumbles, you know?
Oh, my goodness. The family jewels.
Exactly.
So, anyway, we have a trivia competition. We're going head-to-head. We're going to have a series of 10 questions each, and each question will be worth somewhere near 10 points. At the end of the game, we will have a chance to wager all of the points that we've earned in a final question to determine who's the winner of the game. Anything special that I missed there, or does that sound about right?
No, I think you're good to go. We just need to do our disclaimers, and I'll let you start off with yours first.
No, thank you. Okay, so a lot of what I'm using is coming from a book called Pub Quiz. Pub Quiz is published by... It's published. I read published. Pub Quiz is published by Arcturus Publishing Limited. It's a pretty good book. I've been enjoying it, and I want to give them credit for writing it.
See, and I've got a couple sources that I want to talk about this time because I've just found some really great questions over the course of the last few weeks that I've been dying to ask you. And instead of waiting for text messages and stuff like that, I decided to wait for now.
Oh, you've been saving
them. For the warfare, I have. So, first one is Mental Floss Trivia by Sandy Wood and Carrie Kovalich. It's from Puzzle Right Press, New York. I've also have this Trivia Day calendar, and it's from pageaday.com. So let's go ahead and get this on. You want to start, or you want me to start first?
I would love to ask the first question.
All right, you're going first. Round one.
All right, so your first category is nature.
Ooh. You know I don't go outside very often, right?
Oh, so this might be hard for you.
A little bit. What is this outside we speak of?
What is the appropriate term for a creature that lacks a backbone? A Chris. No.
You took my joke. I was just about to say that. Chris Hollister. Man, that is so not true. I think I have a lovely backbone.
It's marvelous.
Thank you. Well, a backbone is a vertebrae, so one without a backbone would be an invertebrate.
Could you pronounce it differently? Right now, you're not getting it right.
Okay, then I'm not getting it right.
But you should be getting it right. Vertebrae is the one little piece, right?
Right. It's invertebrae.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's an invertebrate.
Are you sure about that?
100% positive.
All right. I call shenanigans on that, to be honest.
Vertebrate and an invertebrate. Would you like to double check online?
No, not one bit.
Because
I trust
you. Did actually... use a resource.
Oh, did you know?
Yes. It comes from the book, remember?
Fair enough. Well, all right. Fair enough.
So I'm sorry. Invertebrate is the correct answer.
All right. So that's an offer for me. I'm going to start off with a little more nice question for you and go into sports.
Okay.
All right. What was the nickname for NFL running back Craig Hayward?
Craig Hayward. I remember him because he played for the Saints for a long time, and I was a Falcons fan.
Actually, he played for the Falcons for a long time.
He started his career with the Saints and moved to the Falcons for a short part of his career.
Are you sure about that?
I'm the Falcons fan. Yes, right. I know these things.
No, you're not. Your brother Bob's the Falcons
fan. I grew up a Falcons fan before Jacksonville had a football team.
Will you just answer the question?
It's Ironhead.
Ironhead Craig Hayward. That's correct. So, 10 points to you, sir.
Your second round question
is
also a sports question.
All right, bring it.
Which baseball player held a record total of 2,245 runs scored from retirement in 1928 until this record was surpassed in 2001? So he held the record until 2001.
All right, that's Lou Gehrig.
That is incorrect.
Okay.
It is Ty Cobb.
2001, then. That doesn't sound right because the record that Ty Cobb got surpassed was Pete Rose.
You didn't listen to the question.
I thought I did, but...
Runs scored.
Oh, okay.
You have a chance to make up for this.
Okay.
I'll give you 2 points if you can tell me who broke his runs scored record in 2001.
I want to say that's Ricky Henderson.
Ricky Henderson is correct.
Yeah.
So I want to tell you a little bit about Ty Cobb.
Okay, go ahead.
So Ty Cobb is a legendary prick, right?
No, that's an understatement of the year.
One time he assaulted a fan during a game for heckling him. it turned out the guy didn't have one of his hands. It was lost in a machinery accident. When the fans pulled him off and told him, hey, the guy didn't have any hands, Cobb said, I don't care if he got no feet.
Wow.
That was his quote, right? Now, this, let me tell you a little story about how good Ty Cobb was.
Well, yeah.
For years, Cobb fumed about the attention Babe Ruth was getting for hitting home runs. And he told a reporter in 1925, for the first time, he was going to go out and hit home runs. He was 38 years old. In a two-game stretch, after making that comment, he hit 5 home runs just to show that it was easy. And then he went back and played the way he liked to play. Ruth's response was classic. He said, I could have hit 600 if I wanted to, but that would have only been singles, and people like home runs.
Gotta love Babe. I mean, yeah, Ty Cobb was just such a complete and utter tool. It's amazing if he was actually a nice guy, what would happen?
Oh, my God. But he was incredible as a ball player.
So, okay, we're going into your round two question. Music.
Music.
What popular songwriter and singer, Private Seaplane, was fired upon by Jamaican police who suspected it was being used to smuggle drugs?
What popular producer and singer's Seaplane?
Let me repeat it again.
Okay.
What popular songwriter and singer, Private Seaplane, was fired upon by Jamaican police who suspected it was being used to smuggle drugs?
It may be wrong, but I'm going to have to go with Bob Marley.
See, and that's, a lot of people would think that, but it's Jimmy Buffett.
Oh!
It's the other one. And the interesting part is in 1996, he actually wrote a song about the whole thing called Jamaica Mistaka.
Really?
Yes.
Man. And, you know, I never really relate Buffett to Jamaica at all.
Yeah, well, he's one of those ones that he learned how to fly a seaplane, and he literally flies it everywhere, even to this day.
Wow.
He's even crashed it like twice and survived and still flies it.
That's scary.
I know, right?
Man, I wouldn't do that. Okay, so.
10-2.
So the score is 10-2 in my favor. Your third question.
Yes, sir.
Geography.
Okay.
What is the second largest country in the world in terms of land area?
I'm going to say that it's our brethren up north, Canada.
America's hat?
America's hat.
Ah, the correct answer, with Russia being first.
Yep.
China is third.
Right.
The U.S. is fourth.
Right.
Brazil is fifth.
Yep.
Canada second.
There we go.
Well done. Good job.
Thank you.
That's a bit of a toughie.
It's just, people don't realize how much landmass is up there, and
it's
just
huge.
Keeps going. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, like 90% of the Canadian population lives within 100 miles of the U.S. border.
There
it's
you
because
go. Yeah.
That's the only place that's warm enough to live.
Eh? So, and the interesting part is, I can't believe you took my America's hat joke. Dang it.
Well, you didn't use it, so I went
I
for
know,
it.
You should have. Absolutely. All right. Yours is politics.
Okay, politics.
All right. What 20th century president used his poker winnings to help finance his first campaign for public office?
What U.S. president used his poker winnings to finance his campaign for public office?
His
first campaign for public
office.
That's
correct. And I will even give you a helpful thing here and say it was Congress.
Okay. I'm trying to think. Did you say 19th century or 20th century?
20th century. That's the 1900s to you.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Who could that have been? Who was a gambler? You know, my instinct, my gut says to go with Kennedy, but I don't want to because Kennedy's family had money. So it didn't seem likely. Nixon wouldn't have been a gambler. It's somebody who would have had to have been a pretty decent gambler. Bill Clinton? Final answer.
Richard Milhouse Nixon.
Nixon?
Yes, in 1946. He was actually famous for having poker games at the White House.
I'm stunned.
No, just that's, well, you could be stunned all you want, but that's factually correct.
Tricky Dicky.
Yep. I mean, he got that name for a reason.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's a great question.
It's 12 to 10.
Is it 12 to 10?
Yes.
It is 12 to 10.
I blazed ahead.
You're forging a path.
Yes.
Your next question is about entertainers.
Ooh, I like entertainers.
I like the pretty ones.
Hmm. I just like to be entertained, so dance, monkey boy, dance.
Entertainers. In which country was the governator Arnold Schwarzenegger born?
Austria.
Austria is correct.
Yep.
Good job. I got a potential bonus for you.
Ooh, you're liking these bonuses.
I do enjoy bonuses. All right. Wish I had more chances at them.
Well,
hint. All right, so here you'll get 2 points.
Okay.
2 points if you can spell Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try.
Come on.
Okay, Schwarzenegger. It's S-W-R-T-Z-N-E-G-G-A-R.
You didn't use a vowel until you got to the N-E-G-G part.
Did I not
say You said a- S-W-R-T-Z.
Oh, I forgot the A. Darn it. I meant S-W-A-R-T-Z.
It is S-C-H-W.
Ooh, wow.
A-R-Z-N-E-G-G-E-R.
Ah.
Difficult.
A little bit. Yeah, there was just no way. Better.
His name is
Swizzle Sticks. All right. Your fourth round question is the Bible.
Bible, okay.
Bible. All right. Though some scholars disagree, the Old Testament book of Judges is traditionally attributed to what judge of Israel? I'll repeat it for you.
No, I don't need you to.
I will not repeat it for you.
Which judge would have written the book? You would think that it had to be somebody near the end. Somebody who lived beyond. But I can only think of 2 or 3 judges. I'm going to go with Deborah.
Final answer.
That's my final answer.
Okay, the answer is Samuel.
Samuel's considered a judge?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
You attributed him to his kingship, did you?
No, I would have called him a prophet.
Mm.
I didn't realize he was a judge, but yeah, that makes sense.
Judge not, yes, ye be judged.
Plus, he had his own book, so it kind of, yeah. Tricky, you know. tricky.
All right, so it's 20.
I should have said Samuel. Okay, so if my math is right, it looks like the score is 22-10 in your favor.
That is factually correct.
Okay. Fifth round. Your category is going to be classical music.
Okay.
Who composed the German opera, The Flying Dutchman?
David Hasselhoff. I'm guessing that's not the right answer.
No, but you know somebody who does German operas. You know their name.
I'm going to say Wagner.
Wagner. That's the correct answer.
Wow. That was
hey!
Pulled out of my arse.
And you think you don't know classical music and opera, yet you named the guy. How about that?
Well, if you didn't say German, I would not have gotten it. Now it is your turn for abbreviations.
Abbreviations. This might be a short answer.
Ba-dum-bum.
Oh, you see what I did there?
A letter addressed to the state abbreviated as MS should arrive where?
There's a lot of M states. Oh, boy. Okay. I'm going to run through some states here and assign them wrong, almost certainly wrong abbreviations to try and back my way into it.
Roki-doki.
Roki-raggy. Minnesota, MN, Maine, ME, Massachusetts, MA. It's going to be either Missouri or Mississippi. One of them is MI and one of them is MS. I'm going to say the right answer, or my answer, is Missouri.
You're so familiar with the state. MISSISSIPPI. MI is Michigan.
Oh!
Missouri is MO.
Oh!
MO.
Hey, Mo!
You're right about Maine. Maine is ME, or me. Massachusetts is MA. So going into round 5.
All right, I have a language question for you.
All right, the language of love. No.
Maybe. What form of defense in a criminal prosecution is a Latin word meaning elsewhere?
Okay, say that again in English. No, just say it again, please.
Okay, what form of defense in a criminal prosecution is a Latin word meaning elsewhere?
For the record, I've never been arrested before, so this is a little more difficult for me than for some people.
You like law shows, cop shows, dramas.
You know what? I can't think of anything right now. So, I mean, habeas corpus keeps coming into my head, but I know it's not that because that has something to do with evidence. So go ahead and let me down easy.
Oh, you are going to be hurt. If you were elsewhere, you had an alibi.
Ah, dang it. Her alibi, my alibi, the alibi.
Remember the alibi.
Exactly.
Oh, my friend. That's a stunning hurts. Zero there.
That hurts.
Yes, it does.
Okay, so going into round 6 for you, baseball.
Baseball.
In 1983, Dale Strawberry was named Rookie of the Year as a member of what National League team?
Daryl Strawberry. Daryl Strawberry was a New York Met.
Correct.
Yay! Well done.
And did you know the teammate that won the Rookie of the Year the very next year?
It was Doc Gooden.
That is correct also.
Yeah, man. They were a hot little team back then, I'll tell you what. They had Mookie Wilson, I think, in the outfield. Keith Hernandez, one of the best defensive first basemen ever. Howard Johnson was coming up around that time.
I loved his milkshakes.
Ugh, that was a really, really good team.
Mm-hmm. Well done, man.
Okay, so now, after six rounds, it looks like the score is...
32-20.
32-20. That's what I have, too.
That's good, because that's the correct answer.
I wrote it down wrong.
I'm going to write myself some 10 points, because that's the correct answer.
I actually had the wrong thing written down.
Okay, then.
Okay, so your seventh round question?
Yes.
Politics.
I love it. Bring it.
Where in the United States?
This is Carmen San Diego. I don't know.
Dun, 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 dun. Where in the United States did Israeli leader... I can't pronounce this. So
Yitzhak Rabin.
I apologize to anyone I offend by saying Menachem Begin and Egyptian leader Anwar Sadat secretly meet in 1978 in order to agree to a peace treaty between them. Where in the United States did they meet?
Are you looking for the specific location, the state? What are you looking for?
I'm looking for the specific location.
Okay, because it was with Jimmy Carter, and it was very, very famous. That was at Camp David.
You are correct.
Yeah,
they were
part
called
of the Camp David Accords.
Boom! You even knew that. Well done. This actually led to both of these guys winning the Nobel Peace Prize in 1978. The signing of these accords eventually led to the assassination of Egyptian President Sadat in 1981 by members of the Egyptian Islamic Jihad for agreeing to peace with Israel.
Wow.
They said, "You don't have our permission to do that."
Terrible.
That
just
is
terrible.
Sad.
It really is. All right. So now we're going into your round seven question, and that's science.
Science.
All right. If I remember correctly, you have a poster somewhere in your place of the periodic table of elements.
I do, and if you keep asking me element questions, I'm going to move it out into the living room so I see it more often.
Well, that's what I'm doing here. MN... Is the abbreviation for the state of Minnesota. What element is the chemical symbol MN?
Can I take a two-minute break?
No. You're not allowed to... Yes, you can take the two-minute break. You're not leaving this room, though.
MN.
It's not like Sheldon and Leonard and having it the periodic table on your shower.
That's actually a good place to have it.
It really is.
Okay, so... I'm going to give an answer that may not even be an element, and if it is, haha, I'm dumb.
Okay.
All right, so...
Animantium.
I'm almost certain that it's not magnesium, but I think that there's another element that sounds similar called manganese, and I'm going to go with manganese.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Well done, sir. Correct.
Oh, yeah!
You gotta love that.
Man, that's a tough question.
You love that question, though.
Oh, I love getting it right, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Okay, so going into round eight, you are winning 32-30.
All right. No, I'm winning 42-30. I got the last question
Camp
correct.
David, you're right, you did.
And I even knew it was the Camp David Accord.
I was impressed by that.
Thank you.
Okay, your question is a literature question.
Okay, bring it.
Who wrote... Oh, you guys can't see it, but Chris was making movements with his hand indicating bring it. Who wrote the American classic piece of nonfiction... How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Oh, man. Okay, can I retake back the Bring It, both of them?
No.
I'm going to say Dale Carnegie.
What makes you say Dale Carnegie?
Because it just sounds correct.
That's because it's correct.
Nice.
Well done. So, I have to be honest, or I don't have to be honest. In fact, I can lie all the time if I wanted to.
Yeah, that's true.
But I love the book How to Win Friends and Influence People, and I... highly recommend it to anybody who, you know what, I recommend it to everybody. Mm. I actually try and read it about once a year because it's that good
no
of
kidding.
A book.
Yeah, I did not know this about
I just
you.
Like to refresh some of the basic concepts because it's so logical.
Fascinating.
It's just very basic stuff that's very important to know.
Okay, round eight.
Round eight!
This is a category very, very familiar to you. cereal. Breakfast cereal.
Breakfast cereal. Yes. You like breakfast cereal questions.
I do very much. Five breakfast cereals made up the General Mills original Monster line.
Yes.
Two of them were Count Chocula and Frankenberry.
You named the easy ones.
Can you name one of the other three? Just one.
I can do better than that.
Can you name all three?
I can name at least two.
All right. I will give you two bonus points for each other one that you get correct.
Okay, so Booberry was the ghost. Fruit Brute was the second one, and he was like a werewolf guy. The third one? What other monster is out there? I don't know the fifth one. I know Booberry and Fruit Brute.
Well, can you think of what character it was?
No.
Yummy Mummy.
Yummy Mummy.
But you did get that, and you got 2 points, so you get 12 points for that round. Well done,
nice.
Sir.
That's called catching up right there.
A little bit. And you've got three in a row there. Nice job.
Going into the ninth round here, you're winning 52-42.
Mm-hmm.
Tight game.
Yep, yep. And you're recovering nicely after your five straight.
I know. I was looking bad for a while there.
A bit.
Okay, so your ninth round question is a question about war.
What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
Thank you. Man, I was like, dang, if he doesn't say that, then...
Say it again!
What are we doing this for?
What World War II battle is also known as an Ardennes Offensive? A-R-D-E-N-N-E-S. Ardennes Offensive.
Well, I'm going to have to say the most famous, and that's the Battle of the Bulge.
Battle of the Bulge is absolutely right.
Okay.
Good job. So Ardennes is the name of the forests, and it was called the Battle of the Bulge because of the way that the enemy lines and the U.S. lines bulged inward on the map that the newsmen were looking at during the nightly news broadcast when they were trying to relay what was happening in the war to everybody in America.
Right.
So it looked like a bulge. They called it a bulge, and that's how it got the name, the Battle of the Bulge.
And all the other wars were very jealous and envious.
Well, it was quite a large bulge.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Hey-o.
All right, you ready for your round nine question?
I am ready for my round nine question.
Movies.
Okay.
All right. What actor played the following characters? I'm going to give you three characters. I need you to name me the actor that played those three characters.
Okay.
Hans Gruber, Severus Snape, Ronald Reagan.
He played Ronald Reagan?
Well, you got to give me an answer first.
Well, it's Alan Rickman.
That's absolutely correct. He did, and Lee Daniels, the butler.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. McClane.
That's correct.
Hey, that's six in a row for me, right? No, five in a row.
That would be four in a row.
Oh. Okay, so the score is 62-52 going into the last round.
All right.
Your question is about religion. What name was given to the religious revival in the American colonies during the 18th century that was inspired by the preaching of George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards?
I only have one thing coming to my head, which is actually one more thing than normal. Usually it's just like...
just a blank slate?
Usually it's just the monkey playing cymbals.
Tabula rasa.
I believe it's the Pilgrim's Progress.
Is that your final answer?
It is.
That is incorrect,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, I thought it might be.
It is called the Great Awakening.
Hmm, okay.
You'd never heard of that one?
I have not.
Oh, wow.
But I definitely want to do some investigation on it.
That seems like something I thought you would have been interested in.
Well, it doesn't mean, just because I haven't heard it doesn't mean I'm not interested in it. I am interested, I just hadn't heard it. So, going into your final round question.
If I get this right.
We are deadlock tied.
Wow, okay.
Shopping is your final category.
And there goes that.
Okay. The UPC is the barcode appearing on most consumer products. What do the letters UPC stand for?
United Postal Code. No, I'm kidding. UPC. Okay, the U has to be universal, I think. Universal price code, universal purchase code. I think the C is code. I'm going to go with universal purchase code.
You were very, very close, my friend. The answer was actually in the question. Universal product code.
Oh, that makes so much more sense. And so much for the tie.
We have 62-52.
All right, you think you're good.
So now let's go into the rules for final question. Basically, both of us are now going to go into a deep, dark hole and try to decide how many points we want to bet on this last question. We can bet up to the most that we have to zero. So you can bet up to 52, I can bet up to 62. So let's now go into our deep, dark hole and figure out what we're betting.
Before we do that, we got to give each other the categories.
I completely agree. What is my category, sir?
You're going to get a movie question.
Interesting. Okay. You, because we had so much fun talking about elements earlier, are going to get an elements question.
Oh, God, help me. All right, I've got my wager locked in.
I do too. Let's go.
Okay, your question. I have a list of the top grossing movies that Arnold Schwarzenegger starred in.
Oh, dear God. See, you did the same thing I did.
I want you to name four of the top six. This is in terms of U.S. box office, which was pulled from the website Box Office Mojo. As a note, Terminator Salvation would have made the list, but it was just a cameo. So that does not count.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, so I have six. You have to name four. You get four chances.
Okay. First one is Terminator 2.
Give me the whole name.
Judgment Day.
Nice job.
I guess I got that one right since you said nice job.
Oh, I guess you did. I'm not going to do that for the rest of them.
The thing that's hard about this question to me is that most of his movies were done so early that they made a bunch of money from back then, but it doesn't really equate to a whole lot of money right now.
The hardest part about this question to me is how many terrible movies he made.
The next one I'm going to say is True Lies, another big budget James Cameron movie that he did. Next one I'm going to say is Predator. And I really want to say Running Man, but I'm not going to say Running Man. Instead, I'm going to say Kindergarten Cop.
Okay. You got two out of four.
Yeah, I figured.
In order, with $204 million, Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Yeah.
With $150 million, Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines.
Wow, interesting.
With $146 million, True Lies.
Okay.
And with $119 million, narrowly beating the next two, Total Recall.
Oh, okay.
And the reason that I went to six is because the next two were within $12 million.
Okay.
Twins with 111, and Batman and Robin with 107.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know it's bad, but it made $100 million.
I figured a comedy would be in there. I just figured it was Kindergarten Cop and not Twins or Batman and Robin.
Yeah. Sorry, bro.
That's all right. So now your final question.
Okay.
Jonathan, the periodic table. What I want you to do is I want you to name four out of the five of the first elements based on their weight that do not have any letter of their name in its symbol.
Okay. Okay. So you want me to give you out of the earliest ones, the earliest on the table. Okay.
That's correct.
Boy, I'm honestly hoping that I can just come up with four, period. My first one is going to be silver, which is AG. My second is going to be gold, which is AU. My third is going to be lead, which I think is PB or something like that. And I'm going to have to dig for the fourth one. The last one I'm going to go with is mercury, but I don't remember what the symbol is for mercury. So I'm going with mercury, lead, silver, and gold.
Okay. The very first one is potassium.
Okay. I know potassium.
The second one is iron. Fe.
Iron.
Third is sodium.
Oh.
Na. The fourth is silver, Ag. And the fifth one is one I've never heard of before, called antinomy, and it's Sg.
Wow, you didn't even get to gold.
Nope, gold was heavier.
Before we do the score up here,
okay,
let's see if the ones I named are even right.
I know you're right about gold. Without a shadow of a doubt.
I know I'm right about gold, too.
And I believe you're correct about mercury.
Okay, so iron. I think I might be mixing iron and lead up. The next one is tin, which is Sn. Tungsten, W. There. And then you get to gold. Lead is four after gold, Pb.
Wow.
Where is mercury? Oh, there it is. Right after gold, Hg. Man, there's like 10 of them. Wow, okay.
All right,
cool. So I feel good about myself. I actually named four elements that fit the category.
Were elements, absolutely.
Yes, and had the right criteria. They just were too fat. Those damned heavy elements, they need to go on a diet. So what did you wager?
I wagered 52 points, so that knocks me down to 10.
And that makes me happy, because I only wagered 21 points.
Wow, somebody was a coward. Very nice.
I wanted to wager just enough to where if you thought I was going to top you by like one, that you might bet two or five or something like that. So I went 10 higher than that. But it also gave me a chance just in case you went too low.
I see.
And that's exactly what happened. So I
decided to go big or go home.
That leaves me with 31 points.
All right.
And so, left you with 10. So that makes Jonathan the winner, 31 to 10. Yes, I'm celebrating.
Okay, yes. You could celebrate the fact that you got a majority of the questions wrong.
Hey, 31 to 10, baby.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. We hope you guys enjoyed a little, maybe even learned a little something.
I learned something.
All right. Well, that's a positive. What did you learn today, Jonathan?
I learned that I need to move that elemental table and put it out somewhere that I look at more often.
And I learned that Jonathan likes to cheat.
That's called studying.
Everybody, thank you so much for joining us. My name's Chris.
I'm Jonathan.
And this is Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Have a great day, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Hey, everybody. Really? One. I'm going to bump right when I start talking?
Bumps in the bump. The bumps in the bump. Hey, everybody likes the bumps in the bump. And three, two. Your next question is nature.
Oh, nature, okay.
All right.
I'm naughty by nature.
Oh, wow, he went there, guys. Mm. Anyway, in the language of flowers...
Hip-hop, hooray! Oh, hey! Is that naughty? I hope that's naughty by nature.
Yes, it is.
Oh, thank goodness.
We at Trivial Warfare would like to apologize to those listening right now.